The following is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Good evening. Welcome to our service tonight. Let's take our hymn books together, please. 590. 590. Let's stand as we sing, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." 590. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart.
Glad you're here tonight. You glad you're saved?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad to have my friends here tonight, Alfred and Sharon Norton. Many of you will remember them. They were here for many, many years at Bethel, and they were so kind to us when we traveled out on the East Coast on deputation, and we stayed with them, and they just handed us the keys to their house. They had to go away for a few days and let our kids destroy it. They came back, their dryer was broken and all kinds of things, but we had a great time. They were just so good to us, and they just shared with me some great news. I thought you'd like to rejoice with them. Their son, Will, you know Will and Michelle and the children that have come here, and they went to Garland Line Baptist Church a few weeks ago, and Will accepted Christ as his Savior. The next Sunday, his wife, Michelle, got saved, and since then, their daughter, Ashley, and all three are being baptized next Sunday morning at Garland Line Baptist Church. So praise the Lord for that. I'm excited for them. That church is so much closer to their home. We pray that they'll be able to get there faithfully and be discipled and grow. What a wonderful thing, and I know they're on cloud nine tonight, and we praise the Lord and rejoice with you. We'll have Brother Paul come and open our service tonight.
To God be the glory. Remember the day that you were saved? What a joy in our heart the day that we got saved. You know, we've been teaching in the book of Revelation in our Sunday school class, and you know all the trouble and anguish and everything that the people in this earth are going to go through, yet John, at the end of the book, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he which testifieth these things saith, "Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, even with all the difficulties that we have in this life, we're looking forward to that great day when Jesus will come. It could be tonight. Last day to give to Nepal, the earthquake victims, and through the Wound family, sign up for the carnival June 20th, and there's going to be an after-church fellowship tonight celebrating our college graduates. Please pray that souls will be saved this week, that we'll go forward with our NETS program, and I'm excited to hear the good news that people are excited about it also. We're going to have a word of prayer. Brother John Kirkwood, would you open our service in a word of prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that we can come and gather here in your house tonight. We ask, Lord, that you will bless the preacher as he preaches, and bless this offering for the work here at home, and support of our missionaries around the world. We just give you thanks for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Savior, number 620, we'll stand together.
The branches and his if you remain in me, fruit will abound, abundant in measure. Come, children, taste and see. Apart from the vine, a branch bears no fruit, for Christ is the source of all life. And all he demands as we keep his commands is to faithfully cling to the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. And if you remain in me, fruit will abound, abundant in measure. Come, children, taste. Service is never the root of devotion. It must grow as the fruit of a life that remains in the vine. Come drink your fill of new wine. Come drink your fill of new wine. I am the vine, you are the branches. And if you remain in me, fruit will abound, abundant in measure. Come, children, taste and see. Apart from the vine, a branch bears no fruit, for Christ is the source of all life. And all he demands as we keep his commands is to faithfully cling to the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. And if you remain in me, fruit will abound, abundant in measure. Come, children, taste.
Thank you very much. All right, I just want to give you a couple of announcements tonight. I want to remind you to be praying for the Norris family. Of course, Kevin's grandmother went home to be with the Lord on Friday. There will be a funeral service tomorrow. They went to spend the afternoon with Kevin's mom this afternoon and go to church with her tonight. So be in prayer for them as they lay her to rest tomorrow. It is a private family ceremony, all right? We're also praying for Sherry Poe. She had some vertigo issues, had to go to the hospital. They took her to Brantford, and she's home now, feeling a little better. But just pray that that'll pass very quickly. Also, many of you, I'm sure, have been following on Facebook this little girl named Molly, and she passed away the last week. She was 6 years old. And the funeral was yesterday. I watched bits of it today down in Florida. And the family is coming, having now their military family stationed there. So they had a funeral service. Now they're coming to Rochester, New York for the service. So it's been a very difficult week for them. Little girl was diagnosed with a brain tumor several months ago, and it took her life in the last week. And so pray for God's strength for them. I watched the funeral. The father got up and spoke and didn't shed a tear. The grace of God was evident upon his life. They're members of, the name of the church in Rochester, New York, hon. Old Time Baptist Church in Rochester, New York, and so it's a good, good church there, and I know there'll be a help to them. It's the same church that Abigail Miller is from, the singer that we had in, and originally from. She's moved now, and as a matter of fact, that church, just by way of interest, they have a youth group that is taking a bike trip around Lake Ontario. They're riding their bikes all the way around Lake Ontario, and they're going to stop here one night in camp. They all wear packs with tents, and they're going to camp in our backyard for one night as they're passing through. And so we're hoping that night that we can get our teens together with them and have a little bonfire or something and a devotion with them. The boys are all singers. And wherever they go, they sing for their supper, they said. And so just so that they can lay down on their grass and go to sleep, but they'll sing. And apparently he says, we sing the old hymns and we have about 12-part harmonies because not all the boys know the right notes, but it'll be good. And so we'll have a good time of fellowship with those young men. Pray for them. That's a great trip for them. The whole idea is for them to get away from the world and just spend time seeing God's creation. And each night they spend time in the Word together with their youth pastor and their pastor. So that'll be a wonderful time. Don't forget, this summer we're coming up on Chicken on the Grounds, the end of July. July 26th is Chicken on the Grounds. That week, we're also having Brother Bruce Fry in. Brother Bruce Fry, of course, was a Nashville singer, and he sang with a lot of people that you might know their name, Hank Williams Jr., and different groups like that, and Waylon Jennings, and all these country stars, and sang with them until he hit rock bottom, and God saved him, and now he sings for the Lord, has a wonderful testimony. You'll want to hear his testimony. All that week, we'll have some open-air meetings, some preaching and singing, and just phenomenal. You'll just want to be here and be part of that, all right? So let's sing again tonight, number 601, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. 601, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. We'll let you remain seated for this one. We'll sing the first and the last verse.
Jesus saves.
acceptable.
Students that have graduated, if Tracy Gates could come up to the front, and Brad Wobel, he's already here, and Paul McDonald, Patrick Winterbank. We have a little gift for them, trusting God in troubled times by RV Quillette, and each one of them will receive that book if they give their testimony.
They would come up now, please. See to do first. Brad, bless you.
Ladies first.
Congratulations, Tracy.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, I started back to college again in December. And this time I took a course that was going to upgrade my office skills, so it was called Administrative Office Assistant. And somehow, I don't know somehow, but the Lord led me through it with all of your prayers, all of your love, all of your calls and your cards. And I appreciate it so much because it was very hard at this age to learn all that stuff blasting away at me. So it was very fast. Finished in April 17th, so it was an accelerated course. But I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord that Art stood behind me through all of that and just cheered me on. And my intentions were to go into an office-type environment and reception sort of, that sort of idea, still dealing with people as I've always done all my life. But the Lord has recently given me a position with Young Drivers of Canada. So my husband wants you all to know that the next generation could be in trouble. But some of you will disagree with him. So I have a month of training to do with them. I've jumped through some other hoops for them this last week after I was presented with the offer. And I'll study with them for a month, and then they'll let me loose with whoever dares to get in my vehicle. So that is what's happening now, and I'm not sure if that's what the Lord has in mind for me forever, but that's what he's given me for now. It's been a lot of years since I've been employed, so I'm looking really forward to it, and I thank you all for your prayers and for standing behind me. And thank you all so much. God bless.
I'd like to also thank you for your prayers, especially for safety. As in California, I got to travel on extension ministry, and there was a few times where we came across accidents that we were 30 seconds behind. We had one of our extension teams crash. So thank you for praying for safety, as I was not involved in any of those. I just completed my degree there in pastoral theology. I got done in 3.5 years and am now on my way to Israel. I leave August 23rd. I'll be going there to get a Master's of Arts, be studying Hebrew and touring the Holy Land, seeing the sites where Jesus walked, as well as all the sites of the Old Testament, extensive history classes. And I'm also looking forward to being involved in archaeology over there. We get to go to a couple dig sites as part of the program, so maybe I'll find something interesting. If not, I can find a rock. But I just ask for your prayers for safety, as it, depending where you are in the country, it can be rather volatile. Although everyone I've talked to says they felt, who's done the program, said they felt safer there than they did in any big city in the States. So that's what's going on with me. Do you want me to give an update on Daniel? Okay, I'll tell you about Daniel. Here's Paul.
I just want to thank you as a church for all your prayers and your financial support throughout my 4 years of college. I just graduated with my degree in church ministries, and I'm not exactly sure what direction God has me to go in. I know he wants me in full-time ministry, whether that's an assistant pastor or youth pastor. I'm open to anything God would have, but right now I'm just working. I'm just trying to save up as much as I can, and I'm not sure if God wants me to go to get my master's degree or to get more education. But I know that God wants me to be more involved in preaching. And basically, I'm just trying to get as many opportunities as I can to serve. And your support as a church over the last few years has really meant a lot. I've had my ups and downs through college. It was a real learning experience, and it was a time that I greatly needed and appreciated, and just thank you for being a part of that.
I just want to thank you guys as well, as I think I took the deaccelerated program. I didn't fast track, but I made it. I thank you for your prayers for that. Just finished with my electrical engineering at Mohawk in Hamilton, and I just got employed. I start tomorrow for a company, so I will need your prayers tomorrow. Yeah.
And congratulations to all of our graduates. Be in continuous prayer for them, and stop by our gym after for some cake and some fellowship. There's also sandwiches, I heard, so there's some food over there as well. And so make sure you stop by and congratulate them. Also, I'll mention, Paul didn't mention, but I have a pastor calling already looking to talk to Paul. And so praise the Lord, pray for him in direction regarding whatever God will do in that instance. All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. While you are turning there, I will mention that Garland Baptist Church is starting revival services next week. And so that means on Monday night and Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, they'll be holding revival services with Brother Max Alderman from Georgia, and then the choir will be singing each night, and those are always a blessing, those meetings. So next Monday and Tuesday night, of course, there's other nights, but we're in church here, so we don't advertise those, amen? And but Monday and Tuesday night, if you'd like some preaching, you can go down to Garland Baptist Church at Six Nations Indian Reserve, and it'll be a blessing to you. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to focus just on one verse tonight. It is a challenge, if you will, to our graduates. But as we consider the life stage of these graduates tonight, I believe there's a wider application that can help each one of us. And before we go too far, I should mention that Daniel Smith was unable to make it because tonight Queen's University is having their graduation. He's graduating this evening in Kingston, Ontario. So be in prayer for them as they travel home later, I suppose, this evening and or maybe tomorrow. And pray for them as they are at that ceremony even now. During the past, these five graduates have followed an academic path that has led them and culminated with the awarding of degrees and diplomas. A graduation marks the end of something. It celebrates the completion of a course. It awards the achievements of the past and celebrates the efforts that we embarked upon so long ago. Some institutions have chosen to call such ceremonies commencements, as they recognize that it's not just the end of something, but it's the beginning of something. It's a new life, and that's what we want to challenge each of you tonight, that you understand that God has a plan for your life. If I were to choose a verse to help you grasp the future, I would say this, as Paul wrote in Philippians, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Your achievements are now in the past. It's a wonderful thing, it's a commendable thing that you have received a diploma or a degree, but let's be honest, they hang on our walls and collect dust. They are symbols of status for some people, but I would want to challenge you tonight that that is not the significance that they hold. The real significance of that degree or that diploma you received is what it symbolizes. It means that God had set you on a course, and so you followed that leading and took that training that you might better yourself for His service. If you truly are a child of God and in touch with the Holy Spirit of God and following after and craving to honor God with your life, we have to understand that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And even in taking those classes and that prescribed course of study, you are being directed by God, for He has a purpose for your life. whether Mrs. Taves ends up in a office administration atmosphere, whether Brother Paul ends up as an assistant pastor, whether Daniel ends up as a lawyer or what have you, or God has for any of them, they are all to do their best for the glory of God and to be used of Him in any way that He sees fit. I've chosen Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 10 tonight as our text, and we understand the context. The Bible tells us in verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Verse 1 of Ephesians 2 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." God is speaking through the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus about their past. They were once dead in sins, but God has now quickened you. You are now a child of God because of the grace that He saved you with. It's not of the works that you have done, nothing that you can do that you can boast of, but you are a child of God saved by grace through faith. And then Paul gives us this verse in verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's pray together. Father, help us to understand this passage of Scripture tonight, and may each of our graduates, but also each member of our church that's present here tonight, understand these simple words: we are His workmanship. We are to walk as according to that calling God has placed upon our lives. That we are to show forth the love and the power of Jesus Christ that rests upon us. So, Father, may the Spirit of God help me, fill me with Thy Spirit tonight as we share the Word of God. We pray that the Word of God would work in our hearts and help each one of us. And, Father, we'll give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8, if I can back up there a moment, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And note verse 9, "not of works, lest any man should boast." Paul sets out to clarify that statement, "not of works," when he says in verse 10, "for we are His workmanship." In other words, any works that have come forth out of our life, or any good that has come forth out of us, now that we're children of God, is because God has been at work in us. And that is my challenge to you tonight, just simply threefold as we look at that scripture in verse 10. First of all, I want to remind you tonight that we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. You know, several years ago, I knew a man that received an honorary doctorate degree. A college or a learning institution chose him and honored him for a life's work, and I believe it was deserving. I'm not criticizing that or saying that he did not deserve it. I believe it was deserving. God had simply used this man to do some things, and I think it was worthy of giving him that honor. But the very next day, his email simply changed to "Dr. something." Everywhere he went, "I'm Dr. this, I'm Dr. that, I'm Dr. this." I've met other people that you wouldn't know they were a doctor. They have earned doctorates. They've gone through and earned their bachelor's degree, then earned their master's degree, then spent more time in school writing a thesis and earning their doctorate degree. And though they are worthy of the title, they just simply go by their first name. It's not important to them to have the glory of man. And I think that is a wise position to take, because we need to understand that we are His workmanship. The fact that you young people tonight, how do you like that, Tracy? You young people tonight have graduated from something. We ought to understand that we are still His workmanship. God allowed you to accomplish those achievements. God has allowed you to go to those institutions of higher learning that you might be blessed with the education and be able to do more for Him. But don't make a mistake about it. You only achieved it by His grace. You are His workmanship. As I consider that verse, "we are His workmanship," tonight, I want you to know that gives your life purpose. Way back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Now, I have an idea about that I think might be a little different than some people's. A lot of people still say today, well, we're all created in the image of God. I don't believe that. I believe that Adam was created in the image of God without sin, but the Bible says, "I was born in sin." I believe that Adam was created in communion with God, but when I was born, God did not know me. I was separated from God by sin. I believe that when God created man in his image, he created a perfect and sinless being. And Adam's sin, once committed, caused him to fall out of favor with God. But now the blood of Jesus Christ allows me to be reconciled to God. You understand that I believe Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, but since then we've been created in the image of Adam. I believe Romans 5 bears that out. Because ever since then, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. If I was created in the image of God, why do I need to be transformed and conformed? Romans chapter 8 says, I am predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son. In other words, what I'm trying to say tonight, and I can show you verse after verse that commands me to be ye holy as Christ is holy. I can show you verse after verse that says I should try to pattern my life after the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know tonight that I don't believe that I am even close to the image of God. In other words, God is still working on me. I am his workmanship. And it all started the day he saved me. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And from that point on, I've been a work in progress. Notice who this passage is relating to. Back in verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened. This isn't just for graduates tonight. If you're a child of God, this is addressed to you. You are his workmanship. God has a purpose for your life, and he is working on you on a daily basis. This not only gives your life purpose, but it gives it accountability. If I could just change the emphasis in verse 10 a little bit from we are his workmanship to we are his workmanship. We are bought with a price. We are a purchased possession. Our bodies are the temple of God. And we are his workmanship. God has ownership over our lives and may command what he wishes. My challenge to you tonight is to remind it that you are his workmanship. That God has a right to do with your life what he so desires. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, if you will commit to God this day, that all that you have learned and achieved will be dedicated to his glory, you'll be successful. Doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter how many homes or cars that you own. But if you will dedicate everything that you have to God's glory, God will make you prosperous. But if you choose this day rather to seek after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, then you have chosen the path of this world, and the way of the transgressor is hard. I want you to notice, secondly, in that verse, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This tells me not only does God have a purpose for your life, but God has a plan for your life. We were created with a plan in mind. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Do you notice what the scripture says? We were able to have good works after, only after we were created in Christ Jesus. I was born in 1972, but I was saved in 1977. If I wanted to push the issue, I'd have to say, well, I was really created in 1972. I wasn't created in 1977, but I wasn't created in Christ Jesus until the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And it was from that point on that I was created unto good works. You see, anything I did before that was in the flesh. Anything you did before you were saved were but filthy rags in the sight of God. Our righteousnesses, that's how they appear unto a holy God. But when we chose Jesus Christ and accepted him as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has a plan for your life. And look what it says about these good works, which God hath before ordained. That word ordained means to set aside or to set something up as. And I want you to notice that God set all of this up before. Before you were born, God knew you. God says to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you graduated high school, God had a plan for your life. And before you chose for your course for college, God had a plan for your life. And before you graduated just a few weeks ago, God had a plan for your life. You may not know exactly where that plan will take you just yet, but God has a plan. And it starts with this: you've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's a good plan. God has something for you. This plan of good works, I believe, has two applications. First of all, good works in you. Good works in you. Notice the scripture doesn't differentiate. It just says that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I believe some of those works take place in our lives. In other words, God continues to desire to work in your life. You know, I know that when I got out of college, we kind of think we know it all, don't we? Hey, we got the world by the tail. We got all the knowledge in the world. We've got a 4-year degree. We got some letters after our name. Oh, you soon learn how little you do know. I learned more, I think, in the first year of ministry than I did in 4 years of college. I learned a lot of it the hard way. Learned a lot from hard experience and hard work. And I want you to understand this. Don't stop learning. Don't stop growing spiritually. God still desires to work in you. That's the good works that are created in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until when? The day of Jesus Christ. That's how long he wants to work in your life. He will continue growing you and maturing you until Jesus Christ comes again. Do not stop pursuing with passion the holiness of God. Not only does he work in us, he works through us. If good works in you become a reality, then your impact for God will be good works through you. But I want you to understand tonight, you will not have one without the other. God will not work through you until he first works in you. This morning we talked about Jesus, the great physician, and we were talking about how sometimes pain and suffering comes into our lives, and we understand that sometimes we have physical ailments because it builds us spiritually. God is showing his grace is sufficient, and God is working in our lives to bring him more glory. And I want you to understand this, that God is working in us in many other ways as well, that he might accomplish a purpose and work through us. We must submit to it. We must submit to it. I'm very careful about people that'll say, I'm ready to work, but I'm not willing to train. I'm ready to jump in and do the work of whatever it is, and I believe that God wants me to do this, and I'm ready to jump up there with fervor and energy. I like people with energy. I like people with excitement and people that, you know, it thrills my heart when we come up here on the platform and I hear Ron over here yelling amen. Man, that thrills my heart. Justin Dearden, that boy, I tell you what, he's all over this place. But he has an energy for the Lord. He wants to serve. And he says to me, when can I preach? I said, well, you got to start somewhere here. I said, you got to back up now. And I said, go preach on a bus somewhere and go preach to a little class and go preach. And I said, but you got to train for it. He just got so much energy that I can't wait. But hey, we need to take the time to learn and take the time to grow into it and take the time to train and submit to God's leading. John the Baptist remained in the wilderness until his showing unto Israel. God was training him. The apostle Paul got up, and the first time he preached, boy, he kind of fell flat on his face. He was kind of mean-spirited, and he understood that. And so he went away for a few years, and for about a 3-year period, he was trained by God in the deserts. We see it over and over again, how God trains us, but we must submit to his working in us if we ever want him to work through us. God has a plan, and that plan is good works. The Bible says that Paul writes to Timothy, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God has a plan, but we must wait upon that plan. We have been created for good works through Jesus Christ. And then the scripture tells us this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, look at that last part, that we should walk in them. The word walk in the Bible has two meanings, both which are applicable in this instance. Walk is an active force. Walk is something that we do physically, move forward. And what it means is just that. It means to go forward, to fulfill the plan of God for your life. We are to walk in good works. As we are going forward for God, we are to show forth the light of Jesus Christ and show forth God's good works. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we are doing when we are walking. Listen to this. There is so much potential in the pew, but it is only realized when we put it into the service for God. We can sit here tonight all we want, and we can come to church every Sunday, and we can leave every Sunday afternoon, and we can put our Bible up on the shelf and let it collect dust for a week, and we can pull it down and dust it off and take it to church again. That's just potential. But if we are going to walk in these good works that Christ has before ordained for us, we have to go forward in showing forth the love of Christ. Walk, secondly, can mean our behavior. Let the power of God working in your life affect your walk with him. Let it transform your behavior. Put it all together now as we read the verse. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. And let me paraphrase this last part, which should change our behavior. Listen, when you understand that God has a plan for your life, that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood because he wants to invest his very life in you, and he wants to perform a good work in you until the day he comes again, that he might be able to work through you, that'll change you. Paul says it this way, walk in them. Walk in them. Grasp what you have learned and apply it to ministry. And I would encourage everyone in this room tonight, and especially our graduates, take what you have learned and use it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I want you to understand this. God would not have set you in motion to go and take those courses and prepare yourself with this learning unless he had a plan to use it for his glory. How do I know that? Because you are not your own. You are bought with a price. You belong to him. And if you have been sensitive to the Holy Spirit and God has directed you to this point, he wants to use you for his glory. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That God wants to use us? I don't get it. I understand so much better now it's by the foolishness of preaching. Why? Because it's fools that do it. We are just clay and just vessels, and God pours himself into us. What a wonderful privilege that we are his workmanship, that God has foreordained that we would be created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And now he says, walk in it. Behave like you're a child of God. Go forward doing good works. So how does that apply to everyone in this room? Because each one of you can decide right now, I'm going to start a new life in Christ. I'm a child of God, but I'm really not walking in good works. I'm really not doing a lot for the glory of the Lord. And I have gifts and talents, and I should be using them for God. Are you? Let me encourage you one last time with that verse. We are his workmanship. Can we just back up for a second? Would you just, in your mind, insert your name there? I am his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It requires surrender, complete and total, understanding that we're bought, we're purchased, we belong to him, and we are created to bring him glory. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us, and we thank you that for these graduates tonight and one that cannot be here, we pray that you'd bless them, that in fact, whatever they've trained for would be used for your glory, that they would take those gifts and talents and those abilities that they have acquired and use them for the glory of God. And I pray that in a broader sense that each one in this room tonight would examine their gifts and their talents and their abilities and just sincerely ask themselves, am I bringing God glory with my life? Am I a faithful steward of what God has invested in me? Father, I pray that you'd help us to search our hearts tonight. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'd like to do this if we could. I'll have each of our graduates come up to the platform. We'd like to pray for them tonight. If you'll just come up, just down to this altar, not right up on the platform. I'm going to ask our deacons to come and pray with each one. And if you'll do that, just each one of our deacons come. Brother Baker, if you could take Brother Windebank. All right, Brother Kirkwood, take Brother Vogel there. Mr. Vogel, would you grab your wife? Is she here? Lorraine, if you would come and pray with Tracy, she'll be comfortable with a lady. Amen. All right, and then Brother Wilson's going to pray with one more. Where's our other one? Paul. Oh, he slipped out? Okay. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Each of you pray with them. And let's just pray where we are for each of these tonight. And pray for yourselves and ask God, am I using my gifts for His glory? Let's just kneel at this altar. You may be seated. You may return to your seats. Folks, thank you so much. Lord bless you. It's an exciting time in a young person's life, isn't it? And how many of you remember back when you graduated and the world was all before you and then you blinked and now it's behind you? It just goes so quickly, doesn't it? And so encourage them tonight. We're going to have some announcements. And then Brother Paul McPherson, when you close our service, would you pray for the food? Is he here? There he is. All right. And do you have an announcement? Come on up first, and then you do your announcement, then Brother Paul will close our service.
I remember when I graduated college, a couple weeks later, I was working for Rob in the pig barn, so it wasn't exactly my field of study, but I am thankful for that opportunity, and it helped me a little bit with working with the teens, I guess. So, if you have a bulletin, go ahead and take that out. I'll just highlight a couple quick ones. We have our VBS program coming up July the 6th to the 10th. And Leah Vogel's working with us this summer, and she's going to be running that this year. So if you're able to help, whether leading a class or help with any of the different things that they're doing, do talk to her, sign up, let her know so that she can put you in with an age category and get that planning. From my bus side of things, I could use bus workers. So if you're available, it's an evening program again this year. So 6:40 to 8 o'clock. Our buses will probably leave around 5:30 for the longer routes there. So if you're able to help with bus, do let me know, and I can get you assigned to a bus for that. We do have June 20th, we have a church carnival, very similar to our Christmas carnival, or Christmas, what do we call it? Christmas in January that we did. Really good turnout for that. So we're trying to do another one, and we're going to do that in June. We'll be having a dunk tank and cotton candy machines and snow cone machines and all that. Miss Lori Took will be running that, and she has a couple of supply needs. So if you take a look in the bulletin there, you'll see what those are.
I've got one other announcement. Marilyn Pankhurst is also suffering with vertigo, and if you could remember to pray for her. We're going to have a word of prayer for the fellowship tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, please. Dear Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for the good service that we've had, Lord, and help us to serve you with joy and gladness this week, Lord, and that you would have your hand upon us, Lord. We pray, Lord, for these students, Lord, that you would bless each one of them as they go into the workplace, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless this fellowship time together in the gym, Lord, and the food to our bodies. Give us a good week. Dismiss us with your blessing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.